Okay, we're in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chof, Posuk Yurches. It's a very special morning because I'm looking forward to learning Mochar Chodesh. It's the most common Haftorah, and see exactly what the lessons are. Some of the lessons. We had before that David had run away from Shaul and he had met Yehonasan, and he told him, "Your father's certainly out to kill me," and Yehonasan insisted that wasn't the case, and David had a suggestion that he'll disappear and he won't be present at the meal for Rosh Chodesh. This was in Pasuk Hey, that tomorrow's going to be Rosh Chodesh and I normally sit with the king and I'll hide out in the field till the night after the third day, in other words after Rosh Chodesh, and we'll see what your father's reaction is. And then there was a little bit more of a dialogue, and Yehonasan swore to David that he would let David know what happens. And now again we're discussing exactly the plan. But as the Malbim explains, what happened was, David had said to Yehonasan in Pasuk Yud, "Mi yagid li, who will tell me what Shaul is really planning?" Now, that could have two implications. First of all, who will tell me? How do I know I can count on you? Are you guaranteeing that you will certainly inform me? As if I'm going to hang around the vicinity and Shaul is after my life, who's going to tell me? In order to allay his fears, Yehonasan swore to David that he would certainly let David know what's going to happen. The other meaning of mi yagid li could be in the simple manner, mi yagid li, who's going to tell me, how are you going to convey the information? David had mentioned that if he won't be present at the meal and Shaul will be upset, we can find out what Shaul's intentions are. But even if we know Shaul's motives, how are we going to convey the message to David? And that wasn't discussed yet, and now Yehonasan's going to have the plan, how he will let David know what Shaul has in mind. Vayomer lo Yehonasan mochar chodesh. Yehonasan said, "Mochar chodesh, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, v'nifkadeta, and you'll be remembered," as Rashi says, "ki yipoked moshavecha, because your seat will be empty." Interestingly, the word yipoked in v'nifkadeta, one seems to have two different meanings. In other words, the pasuk uses the same word, but one means your seat will be empty, and one means you'll be remembered. But some of Forshim point out, the truth is, and it's really the same idea. Because in Lashon HaKodesh, Zohar, or Zohar, to remember, can mean to remember something, but it doesn't necessarily involve an action afterwards. Pokad is to remember, but it's to remember meaning, and to act on that. So what he's saying is, when you've got it, so you'll be remembered, and ki poked moshavecha, ki yipoked moshavecha means you'll be remembered, there's something lacking, something has to be done. In other words, yipoked can mean to remember, but it's to remember that there's something that has to be done, there's something lacking. So it's really, the words are connected. But Yehonasan said, if tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh and there's going to be a Seuda and you're not there, you'll be noticed. V'shilashta, and for the next 3 days, meaning today, Erev Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Rosh Chodesh, the second day of Rosh Chodesh. Now, of course, in those days, the Beis Din was Mekadesh the Levana, Edom would come, and they saw the new moon. But it could be David and Yonasan knew the Cheshbon of when the new moon would appear, and where it would appear, and how long it would probably take the Edom to come to Beis Din. And according to their calculations, even though tomorrow's the 30th day of the month, and it was celebrated as Rosh Chodesh, the Edom probably wouldn't show up till the afternoon, in which case they would finish the day off as Rosh Chodesh. But the real Rosh Chodesh would be the following day. In other words, even though they didn't have a calendar, he knew there would be 2 days Rosh Chodesh. So the next 3 days are going to be dangerous. First of all, the first day is the very fact that he had run away from Shaul. There's a minor alert. Shaul, in general, could be coming after David. But the next day would be Rosh Chodesh, which is a major banquet. A Sudas Rosh Chodesh and David is not there. That's more of a reason for Shaul to be worried what's David up to. And then the second day of Rosh Chodesh, if he doesn't show up, it's clear that David Has to have a reason why he isn't there. We'll see in a moment, he's the one who would sit right next to the king, right next to Shaul. So Vishilashto, for the next 3 days, Tered Ma'od, go very far down. Could be the city was up on the mountain or on the hill. Tered Ma'od, go very far down to a deep hiding place. It could be it was even in stages. Every day, like you go from yellow alert to orange alert to red alert. Every day, Vishilashto, over these 3 day periods, Tered Ma'od, go very far down, because as time goes on, the sakona is going to be greater and greater. Uvasel hamakom, you should come to the place of Shani Starta Shom Biyom Hamaseh, where you hid on the day of action. Now it could be he's referring to the day that they are talking, on Erev Rosh Chodesh. Erev Rosh Chodesh is a day of action. Everyone goes to work. And in those days, it seems that the Radak brings down, on Rosh Chodesh, the men didn't do work like in the fields. It was a minor Yom Tov, and they cut back on their work. Interestingly, the Radak brings down over here, Kamoshu Minig Hanoshim Hayom, like women nowadays do less on Rosh Chodesh and keep it as a minor Yom Tov. But the men who didn't work in the fields on Rosh Chodesh. Now, when people are working in the fields, if you want to have a private discussion, you have to go further away because there are men working. So when David met Yehonasan in the field, they must have gone far away so that nobody should overhear them. He referred to the day they were talking. Instead of saying, Asheni start the Shom Hayom, where you are, he says, Biyom Hamasa, to stress the fact that Rosh Chodesh wasn't a day for working. That's the way they thought of Rosh Chodesh. And it's to teach us this special inyan of Rosh Chodesh. Again, Pasha, we read the Haftorah because it has those words, Mochar Chodesh. It's a public reminder that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. But there are other lessons that are gleaned concerning Rosh Chodesh from the Haftorah. This is one of them, Biyom Hamaseh, that on Rosh Chodesh people work less in order to devote themselves more to Ruchnius. Rav Schwab mentions in his Sefer that a number of other points concerning Rosh Chodesh, that of course they knew that Shaul was out to kill David. What was this whole test? But he says this happened in a span of a day or two. This idea that Shaul threw the spear and then David ran away and he ran to his house and Michal let him down from the window and then he went to the place Noyos Barama by Shmuel and then they came. This was in a short time span. Rosh Chodesh was a time for people to do tshuva, Zaman Kapor Lechol Toldosam. People took introspection, they took account of where they were holding. It couldn't be, besides the fact that it was a public meal, the idea was that on Rosh Chodesh, Shaul will take a State of the Union, an assessment of his personal situation, what he's doing right, what he's doing wrong. If on Rosh Chodesh, Shaul still feels that anger to David, meaning it's not the thing, you know, sometimes a guy's angry at you and you wait till after Yom Kippur. So after Yom Kippur, it's a new start. For them, Rosh Chodesh was a new start. In fact, the Sfas Emes in Parshas Bo mentions this concept, that if something is done for 30 days on a regular basis, it becomes the normal, you become used to it. Certain brachos, even, in fact, you have to wait till after 30 days. If you see, for instance, the Yom HaGadol, the Great Ocean, so if it's more than 30 days, you can make again a bracha. But if it's within 30 days, that's you become, you're still, it's still not long enough for it to be a new occurrence. 30 days is you get used to something within the 30 days. Rosh Chodesh always comes out before day 30 is finished. And it's always day 30, day 31, is always Rosh Chodesh right there. That you should never get stuck in a rut of just, that's the way things go, everything teva, and nature, and you're in your normal mode, but the new moon is a renewal, is a hischadshus, is a new opportunity for growth. And that could also be the point here, that they're going to test out Shaul, how he reacts on Rosh Chodesh. Does he still have this grudge against David and this hatred? So for 3 days, David is going to be in hiding. V'yoshavta etzel ha'evin ha'ozel. And then you should sit by the rock ha'ozel where the travelers would go. It was a landmark. Travelers would go and they would say, oh, you see the rock in the distance? At that point, make a right at the road. And it could be they didn't come near the rock even, just the rock was a landmark that all the travelers were aware of. David should eventually end up next to this Evan Hazel. Now, David hadn't mentioned this idea. David just said, I'll go hide in the field, and we'll see how Shaul reacts. Now Yehonah's son is letting him know how I'm going to convey the information. I'll let you know what Shaul has in mind. If you go near this rock, I'll be able to give you all the information. And I, the three arrows, I'll shoot by the side. Either I'll shoot them by the side of the rock, or could be he'll even go near the rock, and over there he'll shoot the arrows in order to shoot it toward the target. I'll go out for target practice. But I'll be near that rock, and I'm going to shoot the three arrows near the rock. And we'll see later on, the arrows can be amirames to the hatred. Lashon Hara is called, you have a sharp tongue, chetz shachut l'shonam, says in Yirmiyah. Their tongue is sharp like an arrow. David is now suffering from the Lashon Hara, and for the fact that whatever ruach ro, whatever feeling Shaul had, seem to be encouraged and are built up by all the enemies of David. I'm going to shoot the three arrows. It's a remez to the fact that there's the hatred, the arrows coming from Shaul as a result of Lashon Hara. Chazal say Lashon Hara kills three people. The one about whom it's spoken, the one who says it, and the one who is makabel it, who accepts it. Three arrows could be his merames to that. He didn't spell out exactly all the kavonis, but that's what Amanda were dealing with, because he could have gone to the field to do something else. But he went to shoot arrows as a mention of this. And im Omar Omar Lanar, if say I will say to the Nar, to the lad, Hine achitzim imcho voheino, the arrows are between you, voheino, and here. In other words, the boy's going to go running out for the arrows, and Yehonah's son is going to shoot. Now, it could be the boy will run too far and have to tell him, come back, the arrows didn't go that far. Or it could be the arrows will be further, and the Nar will start looking for them, and he'll tell him, no, you're not looking in the right place, you got to keep walking. If I tell him, the arrows are contained, they're between you and here, they're not so far. Which again could be a remez, the arrows of hatred and of Lashon Hara, it's contained, it's controlled, it's not such a danger. And on the simple meaning, it means the arrows are closer, meaning I'm going to tell him, come back. So kachenu vavoa. So if I say the arrows are close, meaning you have to return and you have to come back, that means that David can take kachenu, either can take the arrows or can take my boy with him, come out of hiding and tell my boy, let's go back to Yehonasan. Or take the simon, take this sign as a lesson. Kochenu, take it, vavo, and return. Ki shalom l'chol, be peace for you, v'ein dover, and there's no concern. Even if it won't be shalom, there could be shalom, and then there could be, maybe not mamish peace, but at least v'ein dover, there's no concern. Chai Hashem, and I swear you can rely on this. I'm certainly going to tell you the truth, and this will be a credible way of informing you what Shaul has in mind. Rashi has a pshat that almost sometimes we find they use nichush. If something wasn't clear, they took like a sign. Exactly when that's allowed and when not, we're not going to go into now. We actually had nichush, this idea of using a sign, when Yehonah's son went and attacked the plishtim, and he said, if the plishtim call me to come, that means we'll have victory, and if they say wait, that means we'll lose. Rashi actually has a pshat as if the boy's going to run and I'm going to shoot the arrows. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let us know exactly what you should do. If the boy starts looking for the arrows and the arrows are further, that's like a sign, Min HaShemayim, you better run. If the arrows happen to be closer, or the boy is going to run further than he has to, so that's a sign, Rashi says, that you can return and you don't have to be afraid. Vafilu Shamati Me'abara. Even if I heard that my father has an evil plan against you, but it's as if Hashem is sending a sign that the arrows are closer and you can feel safe to return. I say Poshup Shot is, he's going to shoot the arrows with precision and he will decide exactly where the arrows should land. Are they going to land closer? Are they going to land further? Omar, Omar, I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it again. If the plan is that David should be near that rock, and he's going to hear Yonasan say it, he'll repeat it. Omar, 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 Omar Lanar. I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it again, that the arrows are closer, and then you could return. I'll make sure that David hears. It could also be, if he wants to tell the boy to come back, the Nar can, you know, a lot of times a guy's looking for something. If you say you haven't seen it yet, it's further, he'll be happy to go and look further. If you tell him you missed it, he's going to say, what do you mean? I looked very well. If the Nar is walking and you shoot the arrows and you tell the Nar you missed the arrow, you have to come back, he's going to be hesitant. What do you mean? I was looking very well. I'm not going to want to come back. But it could be Omar, Omar Lanar. If I want to tell him return, I'll have to stress it again. I'll be insistent. Even though you think you found the arrow, but you have to return, you missed it. You went too far. But Vimko Omar La Elam, if I tell the lad, the arrows are between you and further, then leich. That's a sign to David, you should go, kishilachacha Hashem, because Hashem sent you. In other words, David should know, then he's going to have to go. He's going to start years, and he's going to have, I mean, Shaul didn't live that long after, but he should know he's in for, and as long as Shaul is king, he's now in for Golus. He's going to have to wander, he's going to leich, he's going to have to go, but he should know, kishilachacha Hashem, he's sent by Hashem, Hashem is with him, and that's what he has to do. Elam is a term used for somebody who's more vigorous, for has gevura and has rizus. What he told him was, if I tell him Omar la na'ar, I tell the lad, but using the word na'ar, na'ar is mashmitz, not such a rush. And also, I'm going to say, the arrows are closer, you can return. So it's like two signs that there's no emergency. I'm telling you, I'm going to use the term na'ar, and I'm going to say the arrows are closer. But im kol omar la'elam, if I say the elam, I refer to him as elam, or I use a term that implies you have to rush. We'll see later on, I use the terms mehera chushi, you got to run away quickly. If I use the term la'elam, a sign that it's got to be done quickly and vigorously, and I also say the arrows are further, that's a very clear sign that leich, you must go, ki shalach Hashem, that Hashem is sending you. Obviously, they're not planning on meeting. Yehonasan does not plan to see David. He's going to say this, and David's going to run away. And we'll see in a moment, could be they were concerned that there'd be other people in the field. When it came down to it, there was nobody else there, and Yehonasan met David. But at this point, there's no knowing who's going to be walking around, and even though it's going to be in the hidden place, and it's going to be by this rock, but it could be they won't meet, and David will just have to run away. This matter that I've discussed with myself and you, Hashem is between me and you ad olam forever. So now they have the plan. Yehonasan has already sworn to David that he'll let him know what Shaul's motive is, and it's going to be discovered at the meal of Rosh Chodesh, and he has the method by which he will convey the information. Vayisaser David basode, David hid in the field. Vayhi achodesh, it was Rosh Chodesh. Vayeshev hamelech el halechem, and the king sat el halechem by the bread, by the meal, lechol to eat. It's written with an ayin, the words el, and I didn't see the Mefarshim discuss it, except for the Radak, who says it's written with an ayin and it's pronounced el, and he says ushneim nechonim beinyan, they're both correct. But it doesn't explain what the two explanations are, but both meanings are correct. I'm thinking could be Vayeshev HaMelech al Halechem would mean the king presided over the meal. He sat over the bread, meaning he was the one in charge of the meal. And we read it El, and the point is he came to the meal, and we'll see what happened. So he came to the al Halechem lechol to eat. Vayeshev HaMelech al Moshevo. The king sat by his seat, kifam b'fam, like he always sat. El Moshev Akir, by the wall. Now they knew, Yehonasan knew that David was not going to be there. But he pretended, of course, that he didn't know. And he was there seated first. The king would sit in the middle, On his right side would be David, the king's son-in-law. And we'll see in a moment, it's not derech eretz for a son to sprawl out when they ate by the table. They were reclining, like royalty, like we do at the night of the Seder. They reclined, they weren't eating in a rush, they were there to enjoy. And for a son to sprawl out next to his father is not kavodik. It's not proper. So normally next to the king would be David, and then Yehonah's son, who is Shaul's son. And then some of Forsham say the third one away was Avner, the general of Shaul. Some say Avner sat on the other side of Shaul, in other words, he was flanked by David on one side and Avner on the other. But they had a set seating. And the king sat by his seat, El Moshe Akir, by the wall, by Yochum Yehonah's son. So now they pretend like, ooh, David's not here. So Yehonah's son got up. Vayeshev Avner mitzad Shaul, and Avner either moved over to the other side and sat next to Shaul, or he went ahead and he took Yehonah's son's seat, because Yehonah's son didn't want to, even though there'd be an empty space, there'd be the king in an empty seat, and then Yehonah's son. But even so, the fact is nobody in between, wouldn't it be proper? So Yehonah's son got up. Let's say Avner took Yehonah's son's seat. Vayeshev Avner mitzad Shaul, so he was the closest one to Shaul, Vayipokin Mokum David, and the place of David remained empty. So instead of it being worked out quietly, it made a bit of a tumult, a little commotion on the head table. So it was obvious, Vayipokin Mokum David, the place of David was empty. I saw Rav Schwab mentions also, we'll see in a moment, we're laying this on Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh is a time when we talk about the Geula. Mizbeach Chodesh B'Tzion Tochin, a new Mizbeach should be established in Tzion and will bring the Korbonos. And we have the question, Rosh Chodesh goes by and it could be the Geula didn't come. And we're going to ask the question, Madu Elo Bo Ben Yishai Gam Tmol Gam Hayom El Halochim, what we're going to have, why didn't Ben Yishai come? Why didn't Mashiach come? You should keep in mind, Vayipokei Mekom David. You know why Mashiach didn't show up? Vayipokin Makom David, the place of David was empty. David didn't show up to the meal either. And he didn't show up to the meal because of Sina. Because of Sina's Chinam. We discussed already Shaul's reasons for whatever, but Lamaisa, bottom line, it was groundless hatred of David that prevented him from coming to this Suda. Vayipokin Makom David. Makom David. It's something to keep in mind. When the place of David is empty, because of Sina, that's why his descendant, why Mashiach hasn't come. V'lodiber Shaul Me'uma B'yomahu. Shaul didn't say anything on that day. Ki Omar Mikro, because he said, it's something that happened. Okay, it happened. He didn't come. Bilti Tor, he's not Tor. Ki Lo Tor, because he's not Tor. Which seems to be redundant. He's not Tor because he's not Tor. The truth is, if somebody, in other words, Kiyomar Mikro, the simple meaning is that, as Rashi brings down, he was a Baal Keri. That if a man has a certain discharge, that gives him a certain type of tumah, impurity, and then he's tumay. Now, of course, the easy thing is to go to the mikveh. If somebody goes to the mikveh, likewise, if a person touched the sheretz or he touched certain types of tumah, he goes to the mikveh, and that removes the tumah. But to eat truma, you need what's called Harav Shemesh. You need that the sun should set. It's not enough to just go to the mikveh, you have to wait till the night time. What Shaul was saying was, Ki Omar Mikrehu, it's something happened. It happened, Bilti Toru, that he's not Tahar. And even though they weren't eating truma, which is obvious because they weren't Kohanim. Shaul and David, nobody there was Kohanim, they weren't eating truma. But they ate their chulin with a certain level of tahara, like chumor, like kachin, they ate their chulin b'tahara. Which, as I say, is a concept that is so far, we're so far removed from. The one thing we have is that we know before you touch a piece of bread, you got to wash netilas yadayim. But we're not used to the whole concept of tumah and tahara. But that's the way they lived. And if David didn't show up to the meal, could be he became tar. He was tamei, therefore he couldn't participate because any food that he touches at the meal is going to become tamei. But what he said was bilti taru, he's not tar. You know why? Ki lo tar. Because David is not a pure person. He's not a clean person. Meaning, Chazal say, al yaharher odom bayom v'yovelidei tumulidei keri balayla. That this discharge is caused by having the wrong thoughts. He said, David knew that there was going to be a meal today, and he wouldn't have done anything that would jeopardize his state of purity. In other words, he knows there's a public suitor, he's expected. He wouldn't have done anything on purpose, but Ikilo Tar, he's not Tar, and therefore, that's why he had this mikru. Okay, so one day David didn't show up. That is not problematic. By the way, there's a chazal that it sort of can't be skipped over here. The Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Gimel discusses, and Rav Pam used to discuss it very often, if not every year, every other year, Parshas Noach, that you have to be careful how you speak. Chazal say, La'olam al yotzi odam dover maguna mipiv. You shouldn't say anything that's not proper. Anything that's just, I wouldn't say off color, but anything that's not a good way of speaking, you should avoid. And one of the proofs of the Gemara is from here. The easy thing would have been, the short thing, concise manner would have been ki amar mikrahu. It happened. Tamehu, he's tame. Instead of saying the words tamehu, he said that instead of those words tame, he said bilti tahar ki lo tahar. That's an extra 16 letters written because they didn't want to use the word tame. And there's nothing wrong really with the word tame. And that tame means it's impure. But if you don't have to use it, as if the Gemara says, if you're teaching a Talmud and you want to be concise, sometimes you have to. It's easier to remember it if you're concise. And the Torah itself uses the word tame. Tame is really not a bad word. But to speak, if you can speak in a nicer manner, don't say a dover maguna, something that's just not a nice way. Don't say tame if you don't have to. Like you have by Noach in the Teva, right? He said, Min abehema ha-tahora, from the animal that's tahora. And Hashem didn't tell Noach, take min abehema ha-tameya. Doesn't say that. So it's from the behema tahora, min abehema asher enena tahora. That is not tahora. In the Torah, you know how many halachas I learned out from an extra letter, the smallest thing, and it writes extra letters instead of writing tame if it's not necessary. We're just telling over the story what Noach was told to take. It says asher einena tahira. It's something a person should ponder. It was just funny. Just yesterday, my son asked me, "What does Beis Hakisi mean?" I told him Beis Hakisi is the house of a chair, and I told him obviously what it means, and I said, you know, I said, but, you know, in Lashon HaKodesh, there's no words that are a bad word. So we say Beis HaKisi, and everyone knows what you mean. But I'm saying, even though the words, there are no bad words in Lashon HaKodesh, it's a holy tongue. But even within your choice of words, don't choose a Dover Maguna. And you see that over here, Bilti Tar Hu Kilo Tar. But that was the first day. Vahimi Mochras HaKodesh HaSheni. The day after, the second day of Rosh Chodesh, Vayipoked Makom David. And again, David's seat is empty. Vayomer Shaul al Yehonasan Beno. Shaul said to his son Yehonasan, Madu alovo ben Yishai. Why didn't the son of Yishai come? And he didn't refer to him by name. He just couldn't say that word out of his lips. He didn't want to refer to him by name. But why didn't Yishai's son come? Gam tamol, also yesterday, gam ayom, and today, al halochim, to the meal. Why didn't he come? Vayan Yehonasan es Shaul. Yehonasan responded to Shaul. Nishol, nishal David. Of course, Yehonasan, we'll see, refers to him by name, and Shaul every time avoids saying the David. But nishol, nishal David meimodi. David was asked from me to go at Beis Lechem, to go to Beis Lechem. And we'll see why. But don't think that David just didn't show up. He asked permission, and I granted it to him. Now, the truth is, in Lashon HaKodesh, it probably would have been more correct to say, Sha'ol Sha'al David. David asked permission to go. Some learn out that Nishol Nishal David is David didn't, Yehonasan didn't want to use those words, Sha'ol Sha'al David, that David asked, because Sha'ol is too close to the word Shaul. It's almost the same thing. And he's speaking to his father. So even though he's not referring to the name, but to use the term Shaul, Shaul David, is like saying his father's name. So even though it was for a different intention and it's clear, but he didn't want to use those words, so he used the form of the word that is not the most precise. But Nishol, Nishal, David, David, requested to go to Beis Lochem. Or it could be what he's letting him know is that David wasn't even the first one to ask me. There were people that came in the family, we'll see, in Beis Lechem, and they really wanted David to come. And Nishal, he was requested, Mei Modi from me, meaning they came to me from the family, his brothers, and they said, Tihonason, could you allow David to go? And when they asked, I refused. I didn't immediately grant them Rishus. But we'll see in a moment that when David came and he made the personal plea, okay, everyone in the family asked, and now David asked, so I finally relented, and I let him go. But Nishal David Mei Modi Ad Beis Lochem, David made the request, or others made it on his behalf, that he wants to go to Beis Lochem. Vayomer, a minute. Vayomer, and he said, Shalcheni no, send me now. Kizevach mishpocha lanu. We have a carbon of the family for us, but you're in the city. The family's getting together to bring a carbon. Vahutzivali, and he commanded me. Achi, my brother. Now, of course, it'd be more direct to say, Achi tzivali. Not, he commanded me, my brother. You say, my brother commanded me. Achi tzivali. But it could be, again, first of all, this is not, we discussed this previously, it's not what happened, it's not a truth. But in to say a direct lie, he wanted to avoid it and as much as possible. Sort of like Yaakov said, Anochi, Esav Bechorecha. So even though Yitzchak might have understood it one way, he at least said, Anochi, I am who I am, and Esav is your Bechor. Here also, Vahut Sivali, he commanded me, Ochi, my brother, but he didn't want to say my brother commanded me. In other words, it could be there was a Zevach Mishpacha, but he was not going because he was invited. And he said, Vahut Sivali, he commanded me, Ochi, my brother. Or it could be in general the Navi's writing it in the way that it was said. That either David was in a haste, and therefore he didn't speak clearly and coherently. He felt, I don't know if he had to make the last train out of town, why he couldn't wait the other moment, but he was in such a tumult that he had to go right now to get to Beis Lechem, that he didn't speak properly, or perhaps Yehonasan was nervous telling this over to Shaul. But whichever the pshat is, it does seem to be a little bit stilted the language. Vahut Sivali, he commanded me, Ochi, my brother. Vato now, if I find favor in your eyes, this is his plea to Yehonasan, please let me go. Imotala, no, let me slip away, Ve'eres Echoy, and see my brothers. Because he has a few reasons to go. This is a Zevach Mishpocha, it's a family event, and family special. But it's not just a family, he was directly Vahut Sivali Ochi. My brother asked me to go. His older brother asked him to go. It was special covered for the older brother. Also mentioning his brother, we know that David's older brothers fought in Shaul's army, and they were with Shaul. So he's mentioning his brothers wanted him to come. That's another in Shaul that would have hopefully allowed been a reason why Shaul would be happy with the decision. And the third reason is he's not just going to party. If he was going for a good meal, he wouldn't have skipped the king's suda. But he said, he's not going to eat and drink. He's going because he wants to see the family. That's why he didn't come to the king's banquet. Vayichar af Shaul b'Yehonasan. So Shaul's anger just burned against Yehonasan. Vayomer lo, and he said to Yehonasan, Benavas Hamardus, you're the son of the Navas. Navas seems to come from the word no, like no v'nod, Rashi says. No, the woman who turns away, who strays, who's not faithful and doesn't stay in the house, and Hamardus, who's rebellious, that Shaul seemed to imply that his wife didn't listen to him. And now his son is doing the same thing. Benavas Hamardus, your mother's no good, and you're following her ways. It could also be, Rashi brings another pshat. Benavas Hamardus. Nava can also mean a vineyard. That we know that the Shevet Binyamin was almost decimated after the incident of Pilegesh Begiva in the end of Sefer Shoftim. And there were only a few men left from Binyamin. And Klai Yisrael had made a shavua, they swore they weren't going to give their daughters to marry into Binyamin. And the question was, what should be done? There's only a few men from Binyamin, there weren't any women, and everyone made a shavua, they're not going to give their daughters to Binyamin. So what's going to happen? If they do nothing, Binyamin will disappear. That'll be the end of the Shevet. And they pointed out that in this week's Sedra, Yaakov was told, "Umelochim echalotzecha yetzeyu." Kings will come out from you, and the only one who wasn't born was Binyamin. Everyone else was born already. So if kings are going to come out from Yaakov, and the only one who isn't born is Binyamin, must mean there's going to be kings from Binyamin. And therefore Chazal said, it must be we have to come up with some idea to save Shevet Binyamin. And the idea was, let the girls dance in the vineyard, and the men will take their wives. Not that we're giving them the shidduch. Not giving them the shidduch. It's something done unusual. In fact, the Mefarshim talk about it. Could be the ones who went to dance were those having a hard time getting a shidduch. Because otherwise it's certainly more respectable and more bakovedik to set up a shidduch, you know, in the proper manner. But over here they need a shidduch. But the main intention was certainly to save Binyamin. There was no other eitzah that Binyamin took their wife. Anyways, Shaul was over there, but he was shy. And he didn't feel comfortable grabbing a wife. So his wife realized the potential of what a great person he was, and she grabbed him. So she's the one who made the shidduch. But Lamaisa, that's not so sinistic, it's not so proper. So what Shaul said was, Benavas Hamardus. Your mother is the Yatsonis, the one who goes out, who moves around, and is sort of rebellious that she grabbed me as a husband. And you seem to also have that streak of rebelliousness. Another pshat in Ben Navas Hamardus is, the Malbim points out, normally when somebody rebels against the king, it means because he wants to take over the throne. Here Shaul is saying to Yonasan, I don't understand you. You're going against me, and you're working to take away the monarchy from yourself to give it to somebody else. It's such a like in Seichel, it's so crazy. In other words, you're working on a rebellion to lose the kingdom. It's Ben Navas Hamardus, it's a rebellion, it's a Mardus, and it's crooked. It doesn't make sense. Ben Navas Hamardus, Halo Yodati, I know Kivochar Atola Ben Yishai. I know that you're choosing the son of Yishai. That's the one that you want. Leboshchon, it's your embarrassment because you should be the king. Ulevoshes ervasi mecha, and it's the embarrassment of your mother's erva, her disgrace. Your disgrace to yourself, it's your embarrassment and your mother's. Why is it his mother's disgrace? So it could be in general, if there's no king, we find elsewhere in Tanakh, if there were no sons at all, and the king died, very often the queen would take over. Now, if Yehonasan is not going to be king, so, and David takes over, it's a disgrace on all the sons, it's a disgrace to Yehonasan that he didn't become king, and it's a disgrace on his mother, it's as if there's no, as if she doesn't exist, if there's no son, so the queen would take over. And here it's an embarrassment to your mother that a stranger comes and he takes over the throne. It could also be, what he's saying is, if you would be my son, you would be the next king. And the very fact that you're convinced you shouldn't be king is almost as if it's casting aspersions on your mother. Notice what, you're not my son. If you're my son, you would be the king. Why didn't you want to be king? Because you'd feel you're not my son. Now, the only way you're not my son would mean your mother did a terrible aveira. So it's your embarrassment that you don't acknowledge that you're the son of the king. It's an embarrassment. It's like you'd be a mamzer. And it's the embarrassment of your mother. Because if your mother was faithful to me and you were the son, you would be the king. Why is it that you feel you can't play that role? And I see a lot of these psukim have multiple pshatim. I'll tell you two more pshatim Chazal bring down. Again, the Shaul's wife grabbed him in that incident, and she took him as the husband. The whole svara to take him was because Hashem told Yaakov, "Umelochim echalotzecha yetzeyu." Kings will come out from you. And they did. There were two kings from Binyamin. There was Shaul, and later on a son, Ishbosheth, became king also, which we'll learn about later in Yitzhak. But right now, there's got to be two kings. So after Shaul, the logical thing is Yehonasan should take over. And if you don't take over, means you feel that there's no right to marry into Binyamin. In other words, you don't make that to Russia, you don't learn how to Malachi Michal Tzechi Yitzei is going on Binyamin. And therefore, what your mother did was just an action, not that she understood the psukim and she did it for the altruistic motives, but it was just in general, she grabbed the shidduch. So it's embarrassment for your mother also. The very fact that you don't want to be a king, meaning you're not darshening Malachi Michal Tzechi Yitzeyu, that causes a bad reflection on the fact that your mother took me as a husband. And one last shot. If you choose David as the king, it must mean you darshan that when the Torah says L'yavo Amoni U'Moavi B'kal Hashem, it means only the men. Moavi and not a Moavis, not a woman from Moav. And the Torah says the reason Moav can't marry into Klal Yisrael was Al Devar Ashi Lukidmu Eschem Balechem Uvamayim, because they didn't come to greet you with bread and water, and therefore they didn't show that basic decency, they weren't allowed into Klal Yisrael. So why are the women different? The answer is because women don't go out bringing bread and water to travelers far away from the city. They don't go out. And when they had the discussion whether the women are allowed to marry Klal Yisrael, the opinion was voiced that why can't the women go and bring food and drink to the women? The men will bring to the men and the women will bring to the women. But obviously Chazal understood Moavi v'lo Moavis, that even though a woman obviously can give to a woman, but to go out of the home and out of the city and go to go into the enemy camp and go looking, even though you go to the woman, not the enemy, but to go and give it to the woman of a strange people, women don't go out like that. Obviously, if you believe that David could be the king, and you don't make this drosha, and you say Moavi v'lo Moavis, means you feel that a woman shouldn't go out, even if she's going to go to other women, women don't go out in that manner. So that's not only embarrassment for you, the fact you chose David, but it's an embarrassment for your mother, because your mother went out dancing in the vineyard, and she took me as the wife, as her husband. Okay. But kichol hayomim, because all the days, asher ben Yishai chay al ha'adama, as long as Ben Yishai is alive on this earth, lo sikon atom al chusecha, you and your kingdom will not be established. Va'ata now shlach v'kacho so elai. You're the one who sent him away. Now you have to bring him back. Shlach v'kacho so elai. Send and bring him to me, kiven movesu, he's a marked man. He's going to die. Vayan Yehonasan. So Yehonasan responded, as Shaul oviv to his father Shaul. Vayomer elov, and he said to Shaul, Lama yumas, why should he die? Me'osa, what did he do? Vayotel Shaul esachanis. Shaul lifted up his spear alov against David, against Yehonasan lahakoso, to strike Yehonasan. He didn't throw it. And we'll see in a minute, Yehonasan didn't go running away. He didn't really feel that it was his life was really in danger, but it was a lesson like his father was more than just ready to slam him. But and as he picked up that spear, Yehonasan knew ki cholahim eimov. It was finished by his father. It was a finished decision. Lahami says David that his father was determined to kill David. The Gemara in Erchin on Daf Tez Zayin has a discussion. How far do you have to go when you're giving tochacha? You have somebody you know who's doing the wrong thing. How far do you have to go to correct him? You told him once it's wrong. You told him twice it's wrong. You tell him again and again. Hocheach tochiach. You obviously got to tell him a bunch of times. How far do you have to go? And there's a machlekes in the Gemara. And they all learn it out from this inyan. One holds you have to rebuke him until he's ready to strike. Because you see, Yehonasan persisted, Lama yumas me'osa, after, and we know the whole background that Yehonasan had defended David in the past, and he did it up to the point that Shaul was ready to hit him with a spear. And you'll see from now on, Yehonasan doesn't defend David to Shaul, and that's it. He doesn't push the point anymore. To tell Shaul he's doing the wrong thing, you don't have to go further than that. If he's ready to hit, you don't have to give tochacha more than that. Other opinions say no. This was obviously Yehonasan went lifnei mishuras hadin, and you're not obligated to go that far. It's enough if it's binazifa, if the person shows such an anger against you, which we so you see that Shaul referred to him, Benavas Hamardus, he spoke so harshly against Yehona's son, or if he's ready to curse, that's the point. But it's all learned out from this discussion here with Yehona's son, who really pushed and pushed to try to see what Shaul, is there any way of convincing Shaul not to hurt David? But he was unsuccessful. Shaul is determined to kill David. Yehonasan got up from the table, Bachari off with a terrible anger. And he didn't eat on that second day of Rosh Chodesh, he didn't eat that day. He lost his appetite. Kinetzav el David. He was so upset, he was so saddened over David. As he realized, this is a watershed event. This is first of all, he was so close to David, they were so together. From now on, David is going to have to be on the run. His life is going to be in danger. Yehonasan's not going to have any contact with him. And the very fact that David was hated by his father, Kinetzav el David, he was saddened about David. Ki yichlimo aviv. And another reason was, his father humiliated him. As this happened in the public, I'm sure he'd be embarrassed even privately. But in front of everyone, to see his anger, his father spoke so harshly against him. Ki yichlimo aviv, his father just humiliated him. But out of those two concerns, the first one is kinetzav el David. He was saddened about David. That was his primary concern and his primary anger. So he had this terrible anger, and he left, and he was just too upset, he didn't eat. He didn't run out. He got up. Vayakam Yehonasan, he got up and he left. Vayiva Boker, it was in the morning. Vayetze Yehonasan Hasoda Lemoe David. Yehonasan went out to the field, Lemoe David, to the meeting place that was arranged with David. Or it could be the meeting place that David had mentioned, Lemoe David. Yehonasan had this idea that David should hide for 3 days and then eventually work his way at the end of the day to this Evan Ha'ozel, this landmark rock that all the travelers passed by. This is already first thing in the morning. Yehonasan waited for the third day because before that David wouldn't be around at all. But on the third day, he assumed David would be in the field somewhere and hiding. He didn't know where David was. But he didn't want to wait till the end of the day and go near this rock that eventually David would go by. And some aforesaid say, since the rock was, there were travelers that went in that vicinity, he would basically go near the rock right at the point when he shouldn't hang around there too long. Or at the end of the day, he would be near the rock. But Yehonasan no longer wanted to wait till the end of the day. First thing in the morning, he went Lemoe David to the field. Benar Kotoni Mo, and he took a nar with him, he took a lad. Again, he didn't know if he was going to see David. He didn't know who else is walking around the field. But Vayomer Lenaro, he said to his nar, roots run, mitzono asachitzim asher anochi more, and find the arrows that I'm shooting. Hanar rots, so the nar started running. You know, it's like in a baseball game, the guy starts running because he imagines the next hitter is going to hit it all the way into left field. So the nar started running. And then Yehonasan shot the arrow, lahaviro, to go past the nar. The Barbanel brings down from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim that he explains lahaviro doesn't just mean he shot the arrow to go past the nar. The truth is, when they got to the field, he looked around, he didn't see anyone, so it really was safe. The problem is he had brought the nar with him because he didn't know what was going to be. And now he couldn't just tell the nar, turn around and go home. You know, I decided we're not doing shooting practice today. If it send the nar home and then meet with David, and if by some chance somebody would see, it would look too suspicious. And the nar would wonder why we went out to the field and all of a sudden he's sending me back. Lahaviro could be to remove the nar from his thoughts. In other words, the nar had the thought that they were going to go shooting arrows, and if he would just send him back, the nar would realize there's another reason why Yehonasan came to the field. in order lahaviro, to remove the nar from picking up any clue of what's going on, he shot the arrow past and he told the nar, get the arrow, and then we'll see in a moment he's going to send the nar home. But he had to do something that the nar should wonder what's going on. The nar came to the place of the arrow, asher yoro yehonasan, the yehonasan shot. Now again, it's not like he's near this Evan Ha'ozel. He's not near the rock. He can't say it. They're in the open field, and he doesn't know where David is. So he sends the nar, ad mokam achetzi. The nar is far away now. He went to the arrow. And then, vayikri yehonasan, he called out with a shout, achrei anar, after the nar, vayomer, and he said, halo achetzi mimcho v'holo, isn't the arrow from your location v'holo and further? Now, he was able to say that very loudly, and it didn't look suspicious, because the nar was far away, and therefore he raised his voice. Vayikri Yehonasan acharei hanar. And then Yehonasan called out after the nar, and he said, Mehera, hurry, kusha, hasten yourself, quit, al tamoy, don't stand. Now, we mentioned there were two signs that if they knew for sure it was a danger, he would first of all say that halo achitzim imcho v'holo, the arrows are further from you, and it also make reference, like la elem, that you got to act with vigor and with zrizus and with gevura, and that's what he did. Now he said, mehera chusha, hurry, al tamo, don't hang around. By lakhet nar Yehonasan es achitzim, the nar Yehonasan gathered the arrows. There's a discussion whether it was one arrow. The way we read it, achitzim, was many arrows. The point is, I guess, one arrow, you know, the main thing was the one arrow, just to get the nar out of his way. But the Pasha, he gathered the arrows, vayovu el Adonav, and then he returned. Vahanar lo yodam uma. The nar didn't know anything. Ach, Yehonasan v'David yodu es hadover. Just Yehonasan and David knew what happened. Vayitzen Yehonasan es kelov. Yehonasan gave his kelim. El hanar asher lo, to the nar that he had. Vayomer lo, and he told the nar, lecha v'hoyir, go and bring it to the city. Now, we're going to see in a moment, when they meet, Yehonasan still doesn't tell David exactly what happened. He doesn't tell him we were at the meal, and your seat was empty, and you know, my father was ready to even strike me with a spear. It wasn't, whatever wasn't necessary to say, he didn't say because of Lashon Hara. Now, Yehonasan didn't want to say bad what exactly his father did. So the whole thing was with the sign of the chitzim with the arrows, and David understood exactly what the sign is. They didn't have to speak more. The arrows are mimcho v'holo, they're further away, and you have to hurry. So David knew that's it. His life is in danger, and no more had to be said. Hanar bo, the nar came back to the city. V'David kami etzel hanegev. And obviously David also realized the field must have been empty. So he got up mi'etzel hanegev. He was on the south side. Some of fortune learned Negev also means dried out. That it could be David was hiding in a place where the field was dry and nothing grows or whatever, in a place where even if any worker or anybody would come out to the field, they didn't go there. It was the dry place that was the no man's land. But he got up Mietzah Negev from that place in the south or in the dry land, by Yipol Apovartza. And he fell to his face to the ground, by Ishtachu, and he bowed Shalosh Palmin as a sign of tremendous respect and kavod to Yehonasan, who risked his life to make sure that David would get the message and that David should be safe. And he bowed down three times to David, Vayishku Ishas Reyeu, and they kissed each other, Vayivku Ishas Reyeu, and they cried together, Ad David Higdil, until David was just broke down that he cried so much, there was a danger. Again, anybody could show up at any moment. The field was empty, and I guess they saw that there was nobody around. And I don't know if somebody would see them. It could be he just happened to meet David there, you know. But once David Higdil, David was crying so much, it was already, they had to stop. By Yomer Yehonasan to David, and Yehonasan said to David, Leich l'shalom, go to peace. The Chazal learned out that the greeting you should say to a living person is Leich l'shalom, because life has its rough points and its hard difficulties. You're not traveling in peace. A mace A nifter is leich bishalom. He goes in peace. In other words, he has his peace. Whatever he has, he has. While you're living, there's difficulties, but the goal is leich lishalom. Go to peace. And that greeting is, we find David went and he was matzliach and he was very successful. See, Yehonasan said to David, leich lishalom. Asher nishbanu shenenu. What the two of us swore. Anachnu, it's like reiterating, us, the two of us. B'shem Hashem Lamor, with the name of Hashem saying, Hashem yeh b'ni uveinecha, that Hashem should be between me and you, uvein zari, uvein zarachon, between my children and your children, ad oilam forever. He just mentioned again the fact that they had the shvua, and that's all. And David goes on his way, and Yehonasan goes, and then separates, and that's it. They've parted, David got the warning, but these words, Hashem yeh b'ni uveinecha, and between my children and your children. Later on, when the Malchus split up, when Rechavam took over the kingship from his father Shlomo, when they split up, all of Klal Yisrael went with the 10 tribes, they all went on one side. Just Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda and Binyamin stayed together. Binyamin, that comes from Shol. Shol was Binyamin. And Yehuda is David HaMelech. This bris that between Shol and David, that they would always be close and their children would be close, it remained that way forever. That the Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin are bound together. And even though we're called Yehuda, most of us come from Yehuda. Yehuda was the larger Shevet. But there's Binyamin also is, with Yehuda. Binyamin was with Yehuda as a smaller Shevet, but they remain together. Will be Uvein Zari, Uvein Zaracho Ad Olam, to my children and your children forever. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.